just maybe 3 years old, I think, 2 or 3 years old. And my grandpa went out the house and didn't know that Sherry had followed him out, wanted to go with him to town. And he went around the back of the car and got in the driver's side and just jumped in the car, started it up, and went to backing out, and he backed over something. Well, he didn't know what it was, so he put the car in drive and pulled forward, and back up over something he went and got out to look and see what he had ran over, and walked out and walked behind the car, and there lay Sherry, already turning black. He grabbed her up and immediately started crying, ran in the house, said, "Oh, Mama, I've ran over Sherry. Looks like she's dead." And they immediately began to pray and called. Grandpa hadn't been saved all that long, out of the Navy, and got saved. God saved him. It's a miraculous testimony. But started preaching, trying to be a minister, an evangelist, and he started calling some preachers, called his pastor, and he said, "I ran over my baby girl, and I need you to help me pray." And they prayed there for a little while, and Grandma was holding her, and she came back too, and was alert and was fine and everything. God miraculously healed her. She had turned black and blue, and Grandpa said, "Well, I still feel like I should take her to the hospital." She had a tire track right across her belly. Tread of the tire, and carried her into the doctor, and the doctor looked at her and said, "Yeah," said, "she's okay," said, "but her uterus has been ruptured," and said, "doesn't look like she'll ever bear any children." Well, there's 11 of us today that can stand and testify and say that God is still in the healing business. Amen. I appreciate God and what He's done for my family. I'm just 30 years old, soon to be 31, and I've seen God bring back my little sister when it seemed like she should have died. I dropped her or tripped and fell with her, and all of my weight fell on little, she wasn't but about 11, maybe 13. I don't think she's quite a year old. She's about 10, 11 months old. Fell all my weight. I couldn't stop. I tried to stop, but if I'd have braced myself, I'd have dropped her flat, but I fell, and all my weight and hers too. Right on her head. I hollered. Mama was standing. I said, "Mama, I've dropped Melody." And her eyes rolled back in her head as I was sitting there holding this little baby girl. And Mama said, "Well, let me have her." And took her and laid her on the bed. And she put a blanket up. Didn't cover her body up. Her head up. Just covered her body up. And she said, "Let's all go to the front room." Daddy was over in his office, over in the church, praying, studying. And she hollered at him. We had a little intercom thing, system. She could holler from the church. She said, "Come on, I need you to come to the house." He said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Honey, I just need you to come to the house." Well, he came over to the house, and she told him what had happened. And he said, "Well, let's pray." And so we all gathered in there at the couch, at the house there, at the parsonage, and began to pray. And Mama said, "I feel like I need to call Mama and Daddy. Tell them that what's going on." And Daddy said, "Okay." So she picked up the phone. She called Grandma and Grandpa Sanders and told her what had happened. And Grandma said, "Well, we'll pray." Grandma called back about 5 minutes later. She said, "Sherry," she said, "I want to tell you, everything's going to be okay. I feel like the Lord's going to make her all right." We was in there praying, and just a little bit, Mama heard Melody back there in the bedroom. We all went back there. Melody sitting on the bed, sitting up, playing. Had the blanket and wrapped around her, and didn't seem like anything, wasn't anything wrong with her. Mama took, was careful with her for a day or two. She had a little bump on the back of her head, but about 45 minutes later to an hour, hour and a half, that bump was totally gone. Amen. I'm serving a God that can still move. Amen. I believe that, I believe I'm going to go on. I ain't traveled near as many miles as these brothers that was just standing here. But what I've seen has convinced me that I ain't got nothing to go back to.
Right,
amen. I've got more to go to heaven for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Than I've got to go back to. Oh, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Glad to be here in camp meeting. Thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you've said to us, your kindness. Amen. I appreciate that. It makes me want to come back. And if we ever have the opportunity, we will. Amen. My wife has been here before, maybe several times, but first time for me. But I want to say thank you for the hospitality that you have shown to us. May the Lord richly bless you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I feel like the Lord's laid something on my heart. To the book of John, chapter number 20. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 20. Start reading in verse number 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, "We have seen the Lord." But He said unto them, "Except I shall see His hands, in His hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith He to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." Would you reach your hand toward heaven and ask the Lord to have His way? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Ask You, Lord, to come here this morning and bless us, anoint us to hear from Your Word what You would have for us to hear from heaven. God, we'll give You the praise, we'll give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to preach to us this morning out of these verses of Scripture. God laid it on my heart. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, the same day at evening being the first day of the week. Now, I don't know. Some people believe that the Sabbath day is still Saturday. And you may feel that way. But if you'll allow me this morning to preach what I feel on my heart. The Bible says the same day at evening being the first day of the week. I'm going to say that this is Sunday night. The disciples were gathered together Sunday night. They was having church. One man preached out of this verse of Scripture here and said, what the man missed because he wasn't at church on Sunday night. Amen. Well, I believe in going to church, and I believe in going to church every time that the doors are open. Amen. My daddy preached faithfulness to me. I preach faithfulness to my children, and I hope my children preach faithfulness to their children. Amen. I believe that faithfulness is something that this generation needs to learn, Brother Dan. Amen. Amen. But Sunday night here, they are having church, and Brother Thomas, one of the disciples, he's not there. And over there in verse number 24, it said one of the 12, Thomas, was not with them when Jesus came. But the Bible says that the other disciples therefore said unto Him, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Except I see Him, and I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." Now, this is where I want to take my text from this morning and try to preach to you. The Bible says, and after 8 days, again, His disciples were within. Well, if you take Sunday night and you add 8 days to it, you got a Monday. They were having church on a Monday. Here we are this morning. I think today's Monday, isn't it? It's Monday morning. Here we are at church Monday morning. And the Bible says after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." If the Lord would stand by me and help me tonight, I want to preach, God will turn your Monday into a Sunday. Amen. God will turn your Monday into a Sunday. I don't know if it is this way down south here in South Georgia, but anybody ever heard of a Blue Monday? Anybody ever had a Blue Monday? Anybody here? No, I'm not going to ask that if anybody here is having a Blue Monday. Amen. I hope you're not. Here we are in camp meeting. God's been moving. God's been blessing. God's been helping. Seen Him moving here around the altars the first night, Saturday night. After the preacher preached yesterday morning, the Holy Ghost came in this place and we didn't have any preaching. Last night the preacher preached and we had a move of God and seen people getting help, seen people getting touched and seen God blessing in people's lives. I've seen people walking around up here at the front. Amen. God's moving around this place if you haven't noticed that. Amen. If you'll come with me here today, maybe we can get in the presence of the Lord. Maybe we can get anointed here together and we can have a move of God. I know Brother Lynn Head, it ain't going to take me very long. I'll be out of your way and you can get up here and preach to us and maybe clean up this mess here that I get started. Amen. Brother Dan's already done a good job this morning here preaching to us about being a light to the world. I want to be a light, don't you? Amen. We're living in a dark world. We're living in a dark day. Amen. But the light of Jesus Christ is still just as bright as it was the day that He was born. Amen. I believe it, don't you? Amen. But here today, I want to encourage somebody. You may be depressed. You may be oppressed. You may be under the burden. You may be under the load. It may seem like every day in your life is just a Monday. Amen. But I want to preach to somebody here this morning that God can turn your Monday into a Sunday. Amen. This day that we see here, it's a day of believing. For you see, the disciples, they came to Thomas and they said, "We have seen the Lord." Amen. Have you seen Him? Amen. The disciples came to Him and these were brothers that Thomas was raised with. These were men that Thomas knew to be honest and of good report. But Brother Thomas, he said, "Unless I see Him myself, unless I see the print in His hand that the nails put there, and I'm able to put my finger in the nails, in the nail prints, unless I'm able to thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." Amen. Somewhere along the way, Jesus heard what Brother Thomas said. And when Jesus came that day, on that Monday, when they were there in church, the doors were shut. The Bible says there stood Jesus in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." And then He said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy hand and put thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Amen. I'm here to preach to somebody this morning. Amen. That if you'll believe in Jesus, He will show Himself to you. Amen. If you'll believe in what God said He's going to do, I'm telling you here this morning, you can see the miracle performed before your eyes. Amen. He can turn your situation around. Joseph there in Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. He told his brothers, he said, "Ye thought it for evil, but God meant it for good." You know, I've read the story of Joseph a lot of times. Every time I read it, I say, "Oh God, give me the spirit of Joseph. Give me the spirit of Joseph." Amen. I believe that Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. I believe that he's an example to us of what Christ was going to be. When I think about Brother Dan, what his brother's done. Amen. You know what? I love my brothers. Every one of them. There's eight of us boys. And they've done some sorry things to me.
Before I ever heard of BMX or motocross or all that kind of stuff, me and my brothers, we loved bicycles. I've tore up and rebuilt more bicycles than some Walmarts have sold. One day, and I love to build ramps. The higher the ramp, the better it was. And I figured out one day that if I got that ramp built just high enough, I could hit it and I could do me a backflip. So I took one and I stacked up cinder blocks, double stacked cinder blocks. And took me about a 14-foot tube of 12, yeah. Leaned it up against that thing. It's about 8.5, 9 foot tall. And my brother, just younger than me, Joseph, some of you know him, met him. I tell you what, he's a sorry feller. I know you like him, but he's a sorry dog. Man, I turned that old white red line bicycle around, and I headed off. Buddy, I was going to get me a running start. I got out there about 100, 150 yards, and I turned around. Boy, I was pedaling as hard as I could. I was headed towards that ramp. Little did I know that while I was headed away from the ramp, Joseph had went up there and he had tied a rope around that board, bottom of the board, and he was standing out there about 20 feet watching me. Come on, Nathan, you can do it. He said, you can do it. You can do it. Get it. You got to go faster than that. Man, just before my front tire touched that board, he yanked it out from he yanked it off. Man, I plowed in them cinder blocks. And son, as soon as he yanked, he was running from mama. Because he knew as soon as I got my wits together, I was going to run after him. And I was going to beat his head in. He knew it because he'd do it. He's all time pulling stuff like that on me. Hey, man. Oh, but you see, that ain't half what Joseph's brothers did to him. Hey, man. They threw him down the bottom of a pit. They dropped him down the bottom of a pit. And then they picked him up. They saw some travelers coming. They picked him up out of that pit. And they said, hey, we'll sell him to them travelers. We'll get rid of him. Then we'll dip his coat that his daddy made him, that he loves, that he wears everywhere he goes. That thing that causes us to hate him so. And we'll dip it in some goat's blood and we'll take it to daddy. And we'll tell him that some lion or some beast has killed him. And that way daddy won't blame us for what happened to Joseph. Because you see, Jacob knew that his brothers hated him. Jacob knew that Joseph's brothers hated him. Amen. But the Bible says that Joseph looked at them that day. After all those years that went by. After all that grief that he had suffered. After all those days that he had spent in prison. For you see, Joseph knew that what his brothers had done to him, that God meant it for good. He looked at them that day and he said, what you did unto me, ye meant it for evil, but my heavenly Father meant it for good. What you're going through today, some brother or sister may have put you in it, but you listen to me here today. You listen to this young preacher from Oklahoma that come to tell you, God means it for good. You see here, look at Thomas. He's an unhappy man. Doubters are always unhappy. I've been there. I've doubted God. I hated doubting God. I knew God could do it, but yet I had that conscience in the back of my head saying, God can't do it. God can't do it. God can't do it. Unhappy as I could be, Brother Dan. Unhappy as I could be. Thomas was unhappy. As much as I love Brother Neil, and I love him dearly, he means a lot to me. If it wasn't for him, me and my wife wouldn't be married. He told me, say I do, I said it. He told her, say I do, and she said it. Amen. He married us. But as much as I love him, you know what? If he was to come through where I'm at, and I wasn't there, as much as I'd love to get to see you. If I didn't get to see you, you know, I wouldn't be like Thomas. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. You're lying to me. Brother Bridges, well, yeah, it wasn't Brother Bridges. If it's Brother Bridges, he'd have called me. Yeah, it wasn't Brother Bridges. No, ain't no way. If it's him. And that's basically what Thomas, I'm paraphrasing here and kind of adding a little bit, but Thomas is saying, Brother Head, he said, Brother Thomas said, Peter, if Jesus would have been there, he'd have made sure I'd have seen him. I'd have saw him. He'd have called me up and said, hey, Thomas, I'm going to show up tonight. I want you to be sure and be there. Thomas said, nah, unless I see him, I won't believe. Unless I put my finger in the print of his nails, I'm not going to believe it. Well, doubters aren't happy. Doubters are miserable. So I want to preach to you, if you're doubting, you need to start believing. Because believers are happy. Believers are always happy. Hey man, I want you to look with me over here in the book of John. Well, let's go one more verse first. Over here in Luke chapter number 8. Hey man, the Bible says that Jairus, however you say it, down here, had come to Jesus. He come to the right place. He had a daughter. Luke records it and says it's his only child. Luke chapter number 8, he came and told Jesus, he said, come help me. My only child, she lays a dying. And so Jesus said, all right, let's go. But as he went, verse 42, as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, and I preach this verse of scripture a lot of times. Woman having an issue of blood, for all these years she came, and all she did was touch the hem of his garment. But she caused a delay in Jairus' miracle. Now, I don't know how you feel, but if I come back here and I want somebody to help me, I say, hey, we got to move this pulpit. Would you come help me move this pulpit? We need to move this pulpit over here. Or we need to move this piano. Or we need to move all these chairs. And all right, I'm going to come help you. Well, he reaches out and grabs, hey, I'm standing here and you stand there and talk to him for 5 minutes. And I'm saying, hey, we got to move this pulpit. Yeah. And then we move a little farther and this man here, he grabs a hold of you. You know, you see where I'm going? Hey man, the woman with the issue of blood, she caused a delay in Jairus' travel. He wanted Jesus. My daughter lays at home. The Bible doesn't record that Jairus ever said anything else to Jesus, but there was a delay in Jairus' miracle. And the Bible says that there came a one that said to Jairus, trouble the master no longer, for your daughter has died. And you're talking about a Monday, Jairus just realized my money has just got worse. And Jairus, what does he say? Jesus said to Jairus, he said, if you only believe, I can raise her up. Your daughter, the maid, is not dead. She's only asleep. And the Bible says that they traveled on. The word had come to Jairus that his daughter was dead. That his lovely daughter, his only daughter, was dead. Amen. Your miracle may seem dead. Your promise may seem dead. It may seem like a Monday in your life today. It may seem like that child is gone and is never going to come back. But I'm here to tell you that if you only believe, you can still receive your miracle. Fear not, believe only. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in. And he went into that little girl. Everybody outside was mocking. God help me. Everybody else may say, that situation's dead. That situation, there's no use in going on. There's no use in even requesting prayer for it. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll fear not and only believe. Jesus went in, all wept and beheld her, but Jesus spoke to her. He spoke the living life, the Word of God, right into her. And the Bible says that he took her by the hand. And her spirit came again to her, and she arose straightway. And verse 56 says, her parents were astonished. Hallelujah. Her parents were astonished. Amen. You know what? God just loves to show out to His people. He loves to astonish them. Amen. There in our text. Amen. I'll flip to it just here briefly and show you just here just something that was showed to me. Amen. The same day at evening, the doors were shut and He came in and stood in the midst and said to them, and then He showed them. Amen. He showed them His hands. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, He just loves to come into our house, into our church services, and He just loves to show out. Amen. How many times have you left church and said, "My, didn't God move tonight? Amen. My, didn't the Holy Ghost show up tonight?" Amen. I'm thankful for every time in my life that God has showed out. Amen. I'm thankful for every situation in my life when He's turned it around for me. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, it talks about exchanging. You know, I can take my jacket off here. There probably ain't nobody wants to trade me for this one. But I could trade this brother right back here garments. Mine's black. His is kind of a brown color. And he'd have a black coat. And I'd have a brown coat. We could exchange it. Well, sometimes we come to church and we have what happens here in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 3. He said, "I'll give you beauty for ashes." My, what a wonderful touch that is. I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll exchange beauty for ashes. Or he says, "All of joy for mourning." Hey man, we're talking about an exchange here. Or the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Have you ever came into church just weighted down? Just wore out. Just wore out. My daddy preached a message just here, just maybe a Sunday or two ago about where there in the book of Daniel where the Bible says that he shall wear out the saints. Amen. He preached about being wore out, being wore down. Have you ever come to church? Just wore out. Didn't feel like you could lift your hands up. Amen. The preacher said, "Let's all stand," and you struggled to stand. The preacher said, "Raise your hands." You struggled to raise your hands. Amen. And it wasn't because you were weary in your physical body, but it's because the devil had wore you out spiritually, and you just did not feel like getting up. Well, let me tell you something. We're not only serving a God who can exchange your problems for blessings, but over here in the book of John, chapter number 16 and verse number 20, Jesus said, "Your sorrow shall be turned to joy." Amen. We're serving a creative God, and the very problem that you're in right now, the very thing that's causing you to bow your head, the very thing that may cause you to backslide, may cause you to leap up and shout out for joy. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is able to turn your sorrow into joy. I have loved every time that God has exchanged my garment of heaviness for a garment of praise. But you know what, Brother Dan? That garment of heaviness is still a garment of heaviness. I may have a garment of praise, but I still got a garment of heaviness. But there have been times, Sister Joanne, when God took that garment of heaviness, it's still a black coat. It's still a garment of heaviness, but He turns it into a garment of joy. It's still a black coat. It's still a garment. But it's not a garment of heaviness no more. It's a garment of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you is looking for a way out of your problem. Amen. Maybe you just need God to change your problem from a sorrow into a joy. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you would like to have the Creator God come down here today? Amen. And touch that garment. Just touch that garment. Amen. And turn it from a garment of sorrow, a garment of heaviness, a garment that's about to cause you to backslide, a garment that's about to cause you to turn back, and turn it into a garment of joy. Oh, God will turn your Sunday or your Monday into a Sunday. Not only will it be a day of believing, but notice with me as I prepare to close, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He'll turn it into a day of worship. He'll turn it into a day of worship. Not only will it cause you to believe in God anymore, not only will it cause you to trust God again, but you'll be able to raise your hands and say, "My Lord and my God." When He exchanges your sorrow and when He turns your sorrow into joy, He'll turn your crying to testifying. Amen. There in Mark chapter number 9, the Bible records a story, amen, about a man that came to Jesus. He had already been to His disciples. He had carried his son there and he said, "I've got a demon-possessed son. I've took him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing with him." And Jesus asked him there in Mark chapter number 9, He said, "How long has this been upon him?" And the father looked at Jesus and he said, "Of a child, it's caused him to be thrown into the fire. And all these crazy things have happened to him." Amen. And Jesus, he looked at Jesus and he said, "If you can do anything, if you can do anything, your disciples couldn't do nothing. If you can do anything." Our problems sometimes, they'll cause us to come to God and say, "God, if you can just do anything." Jesus looked at that man and he turned the "if" on him. And he said, "If you can believe." And then I like this word that Jesus said. He said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." And then Jesus touched that boy. He touched that little boy and he healed him. He cast that devil out of him. And the father worshiped Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you here this morning that if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and not say, "God, if you could do anything," but you tell God, you say, "God, if you can save my family, if you can save my husband, if you can save my wife, if you can save my children," you tell God, you be specific with God. Jesus said, "If thou wilt believe, all things are possible to them that believeth." The situation that's caused you to doubt can hinder your worship. And the very thing that causes you to doubt will cause you to worship. It'll cause you to worship. Amen. God can turn your Monday into a Sunday. Thomas said, when Jesus came to him there on that Monday evening, Jesus said, "Reach hither thy finger, Thomas, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." All the other disciples, he just showed them. "There's my hand. Look at my side." But Thomas, he said, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." You know, I can only imagine. You know, the Bible says that the other disciples, the disciples were with him when Thomas seen the Lord. And there was 8 days that separated the time that Thomas, or the time that the disciples had seen Jesus, the time that he showed himself to Thomas. You know, if Thomas was like I, or if the disciples were like I am, you know, when I hear of a brother that's going through a problem, going through a situation, you know, it don't cause me to rejoice. It causes me to pray. Hey, man, I don't know. I I've met some of you this week and glad to know everyone that I've met. But, you know, you brothers, you know one another. You know the problems that each one of you is facing. Y'all have gathered around. I've seen you gather around one another and lay your hands on one another. Praying for this sister over here. You know what she's going through. You know the problems that she's facing. Hey, man, you know whether she's saying, "I haven't seen him and I don't believe that he's alive." Amen. It causes grief in our heart. It causes pain. Amen. When we know what one another's going through. Amen. And I can just believe and only have to know that when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," that Brother Peter started shouting. Woo! Hallelujah. He said he's seen him. He knows that Jesus is alive. Amen. When you get your touch, I'm going to get a little touch too. Amen. When you get your blessing, I'm going to get a little blessing too. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? Amen. When somebody goes through the Holy Ghost, man, I go through it all over again. Amen. When somebody gets a touch, I get a brand new touch again. When your Monday gets turned to Sunday, mine's going to get turned to Sunday too, brother. Amen. Last Tuesday night when that girl there at Russellville went through, amen, started walking on that broken foot, son, I'm going to tell you, just about everybody in that house broke out, shouting, rejoicing in God. Amen. Why? Because Jesus said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Woo! Reach into thy hand and touch my side." Amen. And she did. And I can just imagine Peter, James, and John as their eyes was bugging out and saying, "Thomas, are you going to do it? Amen. Are you going to touch him? Are you going to believe now?" Amen. And as he did, and he said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Old Peter must have jumped 10 feet tall. Amen. As he said, he believes him. Stand with me as I close. Amen. Reach your hand toward heaven and say, "Dear God, turn my Monday into a Sunday. May God."